You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A couple of weeks ago, it was revealed Air New Zealand had carried out a contract for the Saudi Arabian Navy. A week later, it came to light that New Zealand's Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade had approved exports for military equipment to Saudi Arabia's forces. Saudi Arabia has been widely condemned for prolonging a humanitarian crisis in Yemen. So Air New Zealand and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade were both criticised by a wide range of groups. The revelations have also raised a number of questions about the role New Zealand's government and Kiwi businesses have in controversial global affairs. Noah spoke to Dr. Thomas Gregory, a senior lecturer in politics and international affairs at the University of Auckland, who specialises in the ethics of war. Noah started by asking whether he thought the outcry over Air New Zealand and MFAT was justified.
Absolutely. I think the conflict in Yemen has caused unbearable suffering for the people living there, particularly civilians. We've seen cases where the Saudi military have targeted populated residential areas, where they've targeted protected buildings like schools, hospitals, and religious sites, where some of their operations have been conducted in an indiscriminate and disproportionate manner. So the idea that the New Zealand government is approving licenses for weapons to be sold to the Saudi government, and that Air New Zealand might have been servicing engines that are being used as part of this conflict, I think raises some real big ethical questions about the government, about the company, and about whether they're putting profits ahead of people.
Is it even possible for a company like Air New Zealand, who do military contracting, to not have blood on their hands?
So I think for me, the real concern about Air New Zealand was the lack of internal processes to even spot that this was an issue in the first place. They've claimed that because it fell below that $5 million threshold, that it wasn't referred up the chain of command. But given how sensitive an area this is, and the fact that potentially that war crimes are being committed and potentially the company could have been contributing to those crimes, you would expect the senior leadership team to be well aware of the contracts that are being signed and be reviewing them closely.
What needs to change to prevent this from happening again?
It kind of makes it clear that we need to have some sort of independent inquiry looking at the contracts that companies are having with overseas governments, particularly in the military realm. And the fact that MFAT approved contracts selling weapons to the Saudi government as well, or component parts that could be used for weapons, is also a worry, and that also needs to be reviewed.
To your knowledge, are there other companies in New Zealand supporting regimes like Saudi Arabia?
So I think the first part of this is to understand just how the global arms industry operates, and to understand how states like New Zealand and New Zealand-based companies fit into this. So the arms industry is massive. Research by the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute, which looked at sales from the top 25 companies worldwide, those sales totaled something like $361 billion in 2019. And not surprisingly, Saudi Arabia was one of the largest arms importers, accounting for around 12% of global arms imports. And the vast majority of these weapons come from countries like the United States and the United Kingdom. And we automatically think of the big weapons manufacturers like BAE Systems, like Lockheed Martin, like Boeing as well. But it's important to understand that smaller companies and smaller states are also involved in the global arms trade, that they're not necessarily supplying missiles and fighter jets and weapons, but they might be supplying component parts, something that may be relatively innocuous on its own but could be used as part of a weapon system, that they might be providing training and guidance to these states and to these militaries, and they might also be involved in the maintenance of weapons. So if you look at the contracts that MFAT have approved over the past few years, this included a training package that was being used by the Saudi government, and also things like range-finding binoculars that also play a part. So these are not necessarily contributing directly in terms of big missiles and big tanks and big guns, but they form part of a kill chain that enables this violence to take place, that enables militaries to cause the death and destruction that we witness in the media.
When an industry is operating at such a huge scale, as you say, an industry worth billions of dollars, is there any way to stop it or at least adequately regulate it?
Yeah, and I think this has been a real issue that, unfortunately, the arms industry is seen as, for the most part, a perfectly legitimate business. That a lot of companies, this is not something that necessarily operates in the shadows. This is something that a lot of states and a lot of companies are quite proud of their arms industry, the money that it brings into the economy, and the jobs that it creates. And they often justify it on the grounds that they're providing weapons that are being used largely for defensive purposes rather than offensive ones, that there are licensing agreements in place to make sure that these weapons are not being used unlawfully or contributing to human rights abuses. And there's kind of they claim that there's a kind of international framework in place that regulates this arms industry. The trouble is that weapons that are often sold lawfully end up causing this unimaginable destruction. And so I think it's important that we put pressure on the government and the companies involved in these industries to highlight the human suffering that results from these weapons and to draw attention to the pain and suffering that's experienced by civilians in overseas conflicts.
And so I would say it's fairly straightforward that Air New Zealand shouldn't be supporting Saudi Arabia. But there are other countries where it's more ambiguous whether their weapons are being used for good. How do you determine which countries and militaries you can support?
Yeah, and I think this has come up in a real concrete way with the Air New Zealand case, because subsequent investigations by the company have found that it's also got similar deals with other overseas navies, including the Turkish Navy. Turkey's a country that's also been accused of committing war crimes in Syria. So there's questions there about whether Air New Zealand should be involved with the Turkish military, whether the government should be authorising those sorts of transactions. And as you mentioned, there has been plenty of cases where governments have authorised arms sales to overseas regimes on the grounds that they are legitimate, that they're aiding and assisting the defence of that country, only to see those arms used against innocent civilians. And you know, cases where sometimes our friends and allies in one year, a few years later, actually become the people we're fighting against. And we're actually, states are fighting the very weapons that they supplied. And that's one of the real issues with the arms industry, that even the kind of regulation that's there to try and prevent arms falling into the wrong hands, to try and prevent arms being sold to regimes involved in human rights abuses, it's very difficult to prevent weapons falling into the wrong hands further down the line. And so the kind of the onward sales of those weapons is also something that we should be concerned about.
And finally, other than not supporting Saudi Arabia, what can New Zealand do to help Yemen, given we're such a small player in a global issue?
I think New Zealand, although it's a relatively small country, it does punch above its weight internationally. If you think about the success that we've had with the Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons, the TPNW. We were a kind of vocal proponent of that treaty. We were one of the first signatories. New Zealand does enjoy a good reputation internationally, that we are able to move the conversation on important issues. The worry is that this recent episode might actually undermine our credibility to speak out on humanitarian issues like the situation in Yemen. So we can make a difference globally, but we also need to think very carefully about the type of state that we want to be and whether our actions in the global arena further our goals or actually undermine it.
That was Noah speaking to Dr. Thomas Gregory on the role of New Zealand's government and businesses in the industrial military complex.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.